So part of the reason why there's no intro to the readings is the vigil. I'd forgotten the vigil mass for certain solemnities, some of these big solemnities, the biggest celebrations in the church. The vigil mass has its own readings. And that's different from the readings of the actual day of the solemnity. Think of other times that's happened. Christmas. Christmas vigil mass has different readings from the day of. Easter vigil, right? Has in fact, Easter vigil has like 9 readings. And then they're very different from the readings of Easter day. Both, you know, satisfy the obligation, but they have a separate mass all by themselves. And that's truly what you call a vigil mass, when the readings and its own, it has its own mass settings, right? When the readings are the same, let's say there's a given solemnity and it's the same readings for the vigil, the evening before, as the day of, that's simply called a mass of anticipation. So Saturdays, our Saturday mass that are commonly, by common parlance, is called vigil mass. It's technically not a vigil mass. It's called a mass of anticipation because you have the same mass, but you're doing it the night before, right? So that's technically called a mass of anticipation. And when you have a separate set of readings and responses, et cetera, that's technically what a vigil mass is. So we, for the mass, for the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we actually have a vigil mass. And part of the reason why I didn't pay attention to the readings is because I get to preach on the feast day, because today, earlier today, before we became to the Assumption, is the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, right? August 14, one of the greatest heralds of the Marian doctrine of the Assumption and the Marian devotion in general is St. Maximilian Kolbe, the great saint of Auschwitz, whose feast day is today, August 14, the eve of the Solemnity of the Assumption. Most of you know that about 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, right? But such a staggering number often overshadows the fact that historians estimate that the Nazi genocide claimed the lives of another 5 million people of different ethnicities for a total of about 11 million. One of the particular groups that were targeted were Catholic clergy, particularly the many who spoke out passionately against the Nazis or helped in the harboring of Jews, because they knew that their words, their leadership would affect swaths of people that were part of their parishes. And so the Nazis particularly targeted Catholic priests. In Poland, the Nazis murdered about 3,000 Polish priests, which was about a third of the population of priests in Poland. Most of these 3,000 priests died in concentration camps. The most famous of these priests is, of course, St. Maximilian Kolbe. You've probably heard the incredible story of prisoner 16670 of Auschwitz's concentration camp, Father Maximilian Kolbe, but it's worth recounting again. And today I get to, because I'm choosing to use it for my Assumption homily, I get to preach on him a little bit longer than a normal daily mass, which is only a couple minutes long, right? So one day a prisoner tried to escape Auschwitz. As punishment for that one person, the deputy commandant, Karl Fritsch, chose 10 prisoners who were to die by starvation. One man was chosen who then began to cry out, "My wife, my children, I shall never see them again." And the subcommandant Fritsch, who could have cared, you know, cared less, but then what happened? Another man dared to break rank and began to walk forward. Surprised, the SS officer stepped back and shouted, "Halt! What does this Polish swine want of me?" And the prisoner said, "Herr Como," that's what they called him, "Herr Como, I would like to exchange places with this man." And apparently this ruthless commandant was so surprised at the audacity of this man that he took another step back and asked, "And why?" And Father Colby says, I have no wife or children. I am a Catholic priest. And so the deputy commandant raised his arms in the air and made a sign for the switch to be made, just like that. And so the life of this man who was pleading to be spared was saved. But the 10 prisoners who were chosen, that included Father Colby, were stripped naked and thrown into a starvation bunker. Seeing this bunker in Block 11 of Auschwitz firsthand just sent chills up my spine. I began to weep while I was there. Days passed for these prisoners, and gradually they began to starve to death. And normally under such inhumane conditions, you would hear cries of despair. People would often begin acting like animals and go crazy, go mental. But this group had Father Colby in their bunker, who led them in prayer and in hymns. An assistant janitor was an eyewitness to much of their time there. The guards were intimidated by Father Colby, who would kick him and yell, "Look at the ground, not us! Look at the ground, not at us!" Because they couldn't stand Father Colby's gaze of love at them. They called him an Übermensch. An Übermensch is literally a Superman, because he exuded a powerful sense of the transcendent. The prisoners began to die quietly one after another until finally there were just a few left. They wanted the bunker emptied, so they killed the remaining few by an injection of carbolic acid. Father Colby was one of them. One of the guards who was an eyewitness to all of this said he had never seen such a peaceful countenance. He had a serene glow about him. He was at peace, for he knew where he was going. In fact, as a boy even, he had a vision of Our Lady. And Our Lady offered him two crowns, one white, one red. He knew the red was the crown of martyrdom. And he says, I choose both. Meaning his white was of purity, of meaning that he was called to be the celibate. And that's why he became a priest. Red, because of martyrdom. So even as a young boy, he knew this was coming. So he was going to meet his beloved Lord and live in his love for all eternity. That day of his death, August 14, 1941, 78 years ago to this day. So it determined his feast day. Little did the Nazi guards know that the next day, August 15, when they threw his body to be incinerated, was the Feast of the Assumption. And years before this, St. Colby, I can't remember the exact quote, but something to the effect of, I wish my life to be spent for the Immaculata to be ashes for her. And this would be a very literal fulfillment of that, right? How fitting, too, that St. Maximilian Kolbe was baptized as a baby in the Church of the Assumption of Mary. As St. Paul said, if we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. The man whose life was saved by Father Kolbe was Sergeant Francis Gajowniczek of the Polish Army. After over 5 years in Nazi concentration camps, he was reunited with his wife, though his sons were killed in the Soviet invasion in 1945. Gajowniczek was present at both the beatification in 1972 and the canonization of St. Maximilian Kolbe in 1982, with one of the biggest crowds that St. Peter's had seen. In fact, in 1994, he said to a crowd at a parish named after St. Maximilian Kolbe, through his translator, he says, so long as he has breath in his lungs, he would consider it his duty to tell people of the heroic act of love by Maximilian Kolbe. And Francis would soon die thereafter at the age of 93. Our Lady certainly had her hand on St. Maximilian Kolbe, not just at Auschwitz, but throughout his life. It's said that he would have easily been canonized a saint even if he was not martyred. Right? Many of you know that St. Maximilian led the greatest push for Marian consecration in history through the group that he had founded. Remember back in Fatima, the message of Our Lady was for the world to repent, lest wars come about. And then after that, that a greater war would still come thereafter if people failed to repent. What happened? World War II, right? Millions died with two extremist anti-Christian ideologies, with the fascist Nazis and the communist Soviets. These were the lies that were spread, the lies of Russia that Fatima had predicted would be spread. Two movements that were very antithetical to the church and her freedoms, her religious freedoms. So Maximilian was doing his darndest to spread that devotion, to return. And it's probably that his intercession is what's keeping Poland up to this day still a stronghold of Christian doctrine and Christian practice, though the secular world is very much on their necks trying to get them to succumb to the rest of Europe with regards to gender ideology and the whole going against the marriage movement. So, but the Polish seem to be very strong, and I think some of it has to do with their dedication, their strong dedication to Our Lady for sure. So it's a fitting that we honor St. Maximilian on the eve of the Assumption, because to say that he had a strong devotion to Our Lady would be quite the understatement. Their motto of the Militia of Immaculata, to lead every individual with Mary to the most sacred heart of Jesus. Right? And then sometimes you'll hear our Protestant brothers and sisters, why do you Catholics go put so much emphasis on Mary? So much. Why do you even go to her? Why not go directly to Jesus? It's very simple. We go to Mary in order to get closer to Jesus. By going to Mary, we become closer to Jesus than we ever could on our own. I don't know about you, but on my own, I come to Jesus with an imperfect love. Chaz's love, whose love for Jesus can sometimes be selfish and lukewarm. And that's why my consecration to Jesus through Mary was such a pivotal moment in my relationship with God. By becoming close to Mary, we get to see Jesus through his mother's eyes with a much purer love. Before my consecration to Mary, my prayer was more about what could Jesus do for me. After my consecration, my prayer became more like Mary's. Lord Jesus, what can I do for you? How can I console your sacred heart who so weeps for those who ignore or reject your love? I don't think I'd be a priest today if it weren't for Mary. So if you have yet to do a 33-day preparation for consecrating yourself to Mary, I encourage you to think about it, to pray about it. There's one going on right now, but we're thinking of doing one, perhaps one that ends on the feast of Our Lady, on the eve of the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe in December. That 33-day preparation would begin on Friday, November 8th. Friday, November 8th. For now, I'll conclude with the prayer of Marian consecration that St. Maximilian composed for the Militia of the Immaculata. It gives you a clear idea of how he and the militia members gave themselves wholly over to Mary as her instruments to reach people for her son. So as I pray this, feel free to repeat and pray these words silently in your heart on this celebration of Our Lady's Assumption. O Immaculata, Queen of heaven and earth, refuge of sinners and our most loving mother, God has willed to entrust the entire order of mercy to you. I, a repentant sinner, cast myself at your feet, humbly imploring you to take me with all that I am and have, holy to yourself as your possession and property. Please make of me, of all my powers of soul and body, of my whole life, death, and eternity, whatever most pleases you. If it pleases you, use all that I am and have, without reserve, wholly to accomplish what was said of you. She will crush your head, and you alone have destroyed all heresies in the whole world. Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands for introducing and increasing your glory to the maximum in all the many strayed and indifferent souls, and thus help extend as far as possible the blessed kingdom of the most sacred heart of Jesus. For wherever you enter, you obtain the grace of conversion and growth in holiness, since it is through your hands that all graces come to us from the most sacred heart of Jesus. Allow me to praise you, O Sacred Virgin. Give me strength against your enemies.